Radio Daily for Finally Frackin' Friday, the 7th of October, 2016. 'Tis all the geek without the weight. What it be? Yo, yo, yo. How it be? We're the folks at RadioDaily.com. I was smacking around, couldn't find anything. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks bringing things to you today, well, right over there. That'd be saucy.
The next time you feel like showing off, don't.
Don't. Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Rex Dart, Eskimo Spy.
At least this weekend, because damn it, I'm ready for an adventure. Tell me, what happened on this fine day, yo?
3761 BC, the reference date of the modern Hebrew calendar.
1582, because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day is also skipped by all these places.
1876, a group of public and university librarians established the American Library Association.
Again, 1889, William Kennedy Laurie Dixon, the inventor of the motion picture camera and an employee of Edison, made the first motion picture in which he films himself saying, "Good morning, Mr. Edison, how do you like this?" It's the first sound film.
1912, the Helsinki Stock Exchange sees its first transaction.
1927, the first actual sound film, The Jazz Singer, is released.
1914, Edwin H. Armstrong is granted a patent for a wireless receiving system in which he describes his regenerative circuit, otherwise known as a feedback circuit.
1941, electric photography, which will later be called xerography, is patented by Chester Carlson.
1950, the Peanuts comic strip by Charles M. Schultz first appeared in newspapers.
1959, the USSR probe Luna 3 transmits the first ever photographs of the far side of the moon.
Also 1959, the Twilight Zone, created and hosted by Rod Sterling, made its debut on CBS.
66, Star Trek, the original series The Enemy Within, where Kirk splits into two people.
1992, Disney's live-action feature film The Mighty Ducks is released in theaters.
1997, the science fiction series Earth Final Conflict premieres with an episode Decision. It was created by Gene Roddenberry, but not produced until after he died.
1998, the science fiction television series 7 Days premieres.
2003, the governor of California, Gray Davis, is recalled and Arnold Schwarzenegger gets to take over.
2008, asteroid 2008 TC3 impacts the Earth over Sudan.
2009, the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory announces that the Spitzer Space Telescope has discovered the largest undiscovered ring around the planet Saturn, because it didn't wash. Birthdays?
Ayla Kell is 26, the Omega Code, and Make It or Break It.
John Morris is 32, from The Nightmare Before Christmas, Andy, in Toy Story.
Aaron Ashmore is 37, from Smallville, Warehouse 13, and Killjoys.
Sean Ashmore is also 37, Jake and Animorphs. He was Iceman in X-Men, who's in the following, in that Quantum Break video game.
Nicole Ari Parker is 46, from Boogie Nights, Soul Food, Remember the Titans, and Black Dynamite.
Dylan Baker is 57, from The Cell, Doc Connors, and the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, Trick or Treat, The Americans.
No longer with us this day, 1885, Niels Bohr received the Nobel Prize in Physics for contributions to understanding atomic structure and quantum theory.
1894, Del Lord directed 36 of the Three Stooges films.
1927, Al Martino, Johnny Fontaine, and The Godfather.
And 1929, Graham Ferguson, Canadian director and producer, co-founded the IMAX Corporation. And of course, that will not be on television this evening.
Tonight on ABC, an episode of Last Man Standing, Dr. Ken, Shark Tank in 2020.
Over on CBS, it's a new MacGyver, Hawaii 5-0, and Blue Bloods.
New Dateline NBC on NBC.
Fox, it's a new Hell's Kitchen and The Exorcist.
Night 2 of the iHeart Music Radio Music Festival, sure, on the CW.
Freeform is showing Matilda, a Roald Dahl adaptation.
The First 48 on A&E.
AMC with Batman Begins.
Tanked Unfiltered, new episode on Animal Planet.
Disney Channel is showing, wait for it, Bizardvark. It's a bizarre aardvark.
Krampus on Cinemax.
Comedy Central, Lewis Black's new special, Back to the Future.
Mrs. Doubtfire on CMT.
FX is showing Ride Along.
The finale of Bering Seagold on Discovery Channel.
FXX and The Simpsons, Homer Gets Smart. Bart takes the school hostage and Maggie likes Mo.
1995, The Quick and the Dead on Encore.
IFC is showing The Orphan. I thought it was Orphan Black, but the word black wasn't there, so it has to be The Orphan.
The Bourne Ultimatum on HBO.
Sci-Fi Channel, new Z Nation and 2 episodes of Van Helsing.
Nightmare Next Door, new episode on ID.
The Chiller Network will be showing The Blair Witch Project. I still love this film.
Tonight on National Geographic, Snake City.
Oh my god, it's Halloween. Turner Classic Movies will be showing silent classics, Nosferatu, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, the first twist ending film, and Phantom of the Opera.
St. Vincent on Showtime.
TNT's got The Replacements, and someone's birthday, they were in that movie. I don't remember who.
Mission Impossible 2 on Showtime Extreme.
And VH1, What's Love Got to Do with It?
A League of Their Own on Stars.
But tonight we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because after a 15-year-old girl is kidnapped, a psychic comes forward and claims she can find the girl. At first, the parents are elated, but soon it becomes clear the psychic has her own agenda. Tracy Gold and Nadia Bjorlund star in I Know Where Lizzie Is.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
In fact, we do. Dear GRD, listening to the podcast today, 10-6, on the app, and I heard you mention the Space Telescope Science Institute. Just wanted to share that my first job out of college, I worked across the street from there and ate in their cafeteria a lot. The satellite mission I worked on, Fuse, has since been decommissioned and deorbited. Your favorite rocket scientist? I am, right? Well, who else? Also, thanks for the Disco Duck clip. Pretty sure I had that record when I was a kid. So until disco comes back in style, make mine GRD. That's from Turpette. Good morning, geeky people. This is my theory about the explosion of the SpaceX rocket last week. It was not sabotaged by aliens as such. Rather, my money is on time-traveling freedom fighters from an off-world colony seeking to prevent the iron-fisted rule of Elon Musk the Merciless and his dynasty of clones, or something like that. I'm just spitballing. That's from Matt Tsai. That's dangerously close to true. Mr. Flynn called me out to send you a ad lib email. I have enough problems trying to type the correct letters. I could no way begin to remember what a noun, verb, adjective, adverb, pronouns, interjections, conjunctions, and prepositions, including subject and predicates, are without starting to sing songs from Schoolhouse Rock. Nothing's wrong with that. On another note, saw the first two episodes of The Good Place. So far, it's forking funny. It really, really is. Saw the first episode of Westworld. It was interesting. It was like Cabin in the Woods meets Dollhouse, blended with parts of The Hunger Games and a couple of others. I need to rewatch the original again. It's been a while. Until I can get some of the coffee they talk about in Luke Cage is getting, make mine GRD. Take care, Rob. Rob, you do know that I said Mad Lib and not Ad Lib, right? Because you named all the things for a Mad Lib, but I don't know if you were ad-libbing. Sometimes when I freestyle, I lose confidence. If you'd like to drop a note, please do. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We will read it and we'll put it in a list with other things and just have all kinds of fun, interesting dialogues about it.
But then again, all good things must come to an end.
Or do they? Two lifelong Star Trek fans boldly explore all aspects of the Star Trek universe each week on the All Good Things Star Trek podcast.
From the deep philosophical issues underlying the Trek universe and philosophy to our favorite episodes, we discuss anything and everything Star Trek.
Download episodes at allgoodthings.podbean.com or subscribe to us on iTunes. The All Good Things Star Trek podcast, boldly going where no podcast has gone before.
Hi, this is Granny Mahara, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and welcome back to it. Finally, Frackin' Friday edition means you got to go ahead and get some tickets.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Folks do. Sometimes as movies get made, what is out today we can all go rush and see?
The Birth of a Nation.
I am very excited for this. The original Birth of a Nation, D.H. Lawrence making the Ku Klux Klan heroes. Yeah, Nat Turner film, that ought to be interesting. The Girl on the Train, and this Emily Blunt is devastated by her recent divorce, spends her daily commute fantasizing about the seemingly perfect couple who live in a house that her train passes by every day until one morning something shocking happens.
A Sir, the City of Madness.
School, the worst James Patterson adaptation, which is weird because it's supposed to be this kid comedy.
Blue Jay.
Limited release, Brad Pitt's in something called Voyage of Time.
Interesting.
It shows like the origins of the universe and everything.
Phantasm Remastered.
Phantasm Remastered is fantastic and make a great double feature with, oh my God, look where I want to go, to see Phantasm Ravager, the final film in the Phantasm franchise. One more time to see Angus Grimm as the tall man. I love this series. I've talked about it for years. Go see Phantasm. It's flipping incredible.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Let's take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Microsoft's giving it another chance. Several failed attempts. This time they're teaming with Universal Pictures to make a film out of Games of War. They announced this on the Gears of War 4 live stream thing, blah, 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 blah. As a way to support the franchise, the next logical step is to make a movie. Universal's going to help it. They've been trying for years. We talked about this, like, I want to say 3 years ago. Maybe more. But, you know, the franchise, they've got a new game. We talked about that yesterday. Scott Struber from TED, Dylan Clark from Rise of the Planet of the Apes will produce, but no writer, director, or anything else yet. Just Microsoft going, hey, seriously, this time, we're actually going to do it. For realsies, yo.
Interesting. So, I love Nerf guns. I've always enjoyed Nerf guns. And now Nerf Gun is doing a new line of Nerf guns. What could be better? The Accu-Strike line is a new set of Nerf guns that are redesigned. The darts actually have a corkscrew rifling in the rubber tip, which will allow it to spin kind of like a bullet through a rifled barrel. So they will fly straighter, have greater ranges, and be more accurate. Hasbro unveiled three Accu-Strike guns, the Falcon Fire Pistol, the Alpha Hawk Rifle, and the Focus Fire Crossbow. Archery appears still to be culturally feminine for some reason, I guess because of the Hunger Games.
Well, yeah.
The Nerf Accu-Strike line launches this spring with prices ranging from $15 for the Falcon Fire Pistol to $30 for the Alpha Hawk Rifle. There's supposed to be a really good scope on these. They're supposed to be pretty accurate. They pretty much kind of allow you to be a sniper with a Nerf rifle, and that's pretty epic.
And more kids will get shot now.
Don't they know these toys are for adults yet?
No. No, they don't. And adults don't want to tell kids, no, I'm buying it for Timmy.
It's really not.
Netflix has reached a deal with luxury theater chain iPic Entertainment to screen 10 movies simultaneously with their release online with Netflix. So Netflix original movies getting a theatrical release. Now, here's two odd things about this. One, if you have Netflix, you just watch it there and not go to the theater. And two, this luxury theater has 15 locations throughout the United States. So it's not like there's a lot of them. However, movie theaters are not happy about this. The National Association of Theater Owners released a statement, "We should all tread lightly and be mindful that over the years, the film industry's success is a direct result of a highly successful collaboration between filmmakers, blah, 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 blah." They're worried Netflix is going to come in and bump them out somehow using 15 theaters. Well, good luck on that. The Siege of Jabotville premieres October 7th. Christopher Guest's new mockumentary, Mascots, October 13th. And if you live anywhere near one of those 15 theaters, you can go pay to see it, or you can stay at home and watch it on any of your devices.
Pokemon Go came out over the summer, and it's got people excited about Pokemon again in a way that none of the new system games have been able to do since, like, the original days of Pokemon, when Pokemon cards just came out, when people were playing Pokemon. I don't know if people still play Pokemon cards like that anymore. Like we used to. Like tournaments and stuff.
People at cons still do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Cool. I really wish I had my cards. Ugh. There's an Etsy seller, and I always love talking about Etsy sellers because, I mean, Etsy's kind of like the last place for mom and pop style things, you know? And it's hard to find things like that. She makes terrariums, but they look like Pokeballs, and they have little Pokemon inside of them, and she's having to tell people that she can't make custom ones because people went nuts. She said, in one day I had 100 people asking for different custom Pokeball terrariums, and she's like, she works alone, she doesn't have the time to do all that. This is the one thing with Etsy sellers, if anything that they do hits up there, they can't keep up with demand, you know, which is cool too, because that allows them to make more money when the supply is down and the demand is high.
Now she's going to charge $27,000 a piece.
Well, no, actually, she doesn't charge that much for them. She charges in between like 15 and 45, and then from like 8-inch to, well, 6-inch to 12-inch. So, I mean, it's for the amount of time she has to spend on them. Who knows how Nintendo is going to feel about this, though.
I think they'll get over it, or they'll sue her.
Or they'll just start making them.
Yeah, that'll be the easiest way to do it. We've talked about American Gods coming to TV, the Neil Gaiman book, which is amazing. And that trailer, you saw that trailer. That was an interesting looking trailer if you know nothing about it, and an amazing one if you do know something about it. Well, that's not the only adaptation of American Gods that's coming out next year. We're also getting a comic book version of it. 27 issues divided up into 3 story arcs. Neil Gaiman's commented about this. "There's a tremendous amount of excitement in my house and in the world about the American Gods TV series coming up. We've managed to keep a secret up to now that there's also the comic. P. Craig Russell's breaking down the book. Scott Hampton's painting the pages. Glenn Fabry's creating the covers. The American Gods comic is going to be an astonishing, faithful, and beautiful adaptation." Now, that's from Neil himself. So if you can believe him, and why wouldn't you? American Gods is just going to take off like crazy next year, and we'll have many different versions of it to love. It's a good time to be a geek. It's always a good time. GOD is Legend of the Creative Commons Education, not commercial, non-commercial, 3.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. It's an interesting place. Or go pick up the app. Your pet listens to the show on the app. You can, too. And ring your own bell. It's fun. Drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. And we will see you the next time we do. Go rage this weekend.
I have no patience for useless things.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
What do you think? It stinks.
Game over, man. Game over.
Good night, suckers.
Good night, everybody.
I think we need better packaging. We need a better way to show off our product.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history. Since the beginning of time, it has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace. Any state, any entity, any ideology that fails to recognize the worth, the dignity, the rights of man, that state is obsolete. A case to be filed under M for Mankind in the Twilight Zone.